Welcome to our further study in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. We come now to a very exciting chapter. It's chapter 11, and I'm entitling this chapter, Heroes of Faith. It starts off with a reminder that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? It's a substance. Faith is a gift of God. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And it is a substance. You can feel it in your heart. And I want to exegete now this theme of faith as we look into past dispensations and to see men and women who possessed faith and through that faith did many mighty works. Well, we're told that through faith, the elders obtained a good report. And therefore, we want to be filled with the faith of the Lord so that we too might have a good report when we meet the Lord and Savior. And it says this, you know, faith has a multitude. It's multifaceted. It is revealed in many aspects of life. And here in verse 3, first of all, we're told that through faith we understand. We understand. Oh, we understand. How do we understand? By faith. And what is it in particular? That the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, we understand that in the book of Genesis, you know, everything was void, nothing was there, God spoke. God spoke and the world came into existence. You know, some people say, well, what about evolution? Well, what about evolution? Evolution, I mean, is not scientific. It has no scientific foundation for its doctrine. It is asking you to believe that it was a big bang and suddenly the world came into existence. Well, can you believe that? Someone likened it to this, that you have a scrapyard. A scrapyard, you know, composed of all kinds of derelict motors and so forth. And there was a big bang and suddenly a 747 Boeing appeared out of that scrapyard. Well, could you believe that? Of course not. But you're asked to believe something equally, or if not more impossible, by saying a big bang and all this lovely world was created. No. This world came into existence because God spoke it into existence. And that's very important. As we shall see, it applies to every part of our life. That God can speak, and His word is creative, and it can create circumstances that do not exist before. And so, you know, God can speak to us wonderful things. We believe, and oh, how our lives are transformed by the word of God. Now then, we're going to look at these heroes of faith. First one is Abel. And I want you to see that all these heroes of faith had faith from God to do totally different things. And so you see, for us, God might give us faith to do certain things and is counted to us for righteousness. Well, let's look at this. Abel. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteousness. You know, and being yet dead, he still speaketh. Abel. Well, when did Abel live? Some 6,000 years ago. But we all remember Abel because he had faith to understand the sacrifice that was pleasing to God of the flock, a lamb, speaking of Christ, that Cain brought the works of his own hands and was turned down by God. So therefore, what is the sacrifice that God wants? Well, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, that we accept that, accept Christ as our Savior, but also, like him, offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. Well, then Enoch. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was translated that he should not see death. Why? Because he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, how wonderful it is that we can walk by the faith of God and that we can be pleasing in his sight. How wonderful it is. What a privilege it is to receive faith so that we know what pleases God and we can walk in the light of that. And we, mortal people, you know, can walk in such a manner to please a very holy God. What a privilege. All through faith. And then in verse 6, there's an interposition here. He breaks with the continuity and he said, now look, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, we want to believe God, and that when we come to God, we also want to believe that when we ask him for something, he will reward us as we diligently seek him. You know, there was a reading of a girl in Singapore, and she had, shall I say, a sickness, and she asked God, you know, to heal her. Well, nothing happened, you see. Went back to the doctor, nothing happened. And she was somewhat discouraged, but God gave her the thought, look, some sicknesses, you know, require antibiotics that you have to take for a considerable period of time before there is a result. Now why don't you continue to pray and ask me to heal you? And in so doing, well, I'm going to heal you. And she did so. And I think it was a year later, she went to the doctor, there was no trace of her sickness whatsoever. Sometimes we must continue and persevere in prayer, but we must always believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Now he continues. Another hero of the faith is Noah. And Noah was warned of things that were not yet come. You know, there was no rain in those days. It was just a mist that came up each morning and watered the earth. And yet God was speaking of a flood that was to come. And Noah had to believe, shall I say, in the impossible. Sometimes, you know, that's what is demanded of faith, the impossible. But God is the God of the impossible. And, well, he prepared an ark. Can you imagine that ark took something like 120 years to build? Can you imagine for 120 years building this ark and all the people around saying, what is this? There were no boats in those days. And here he was building this phenomenal boat. It was 300 cubits long, which is approximately 450 feet. See? And it was high. It's something like 90 feet high. And there it was. And what happened, you see? Well, he built it. Then there came a day when God caused all the animals to come in two by two into that ark. And then only one door Then Noah was told to go in. And then, some days later, the rain came. Oh, what a difference that made. What a difference that made. They tried to get into the ark, but they couldn't. The door was shut by God. And he shutteth, and no man openeth. Well, that's also a type, you know, of life. You know, we're told by the Lord Jesus Christ that there's a time for the marriage supper of the Lamb. When that time comes, the doors are closed, and that's the end. It's too late. Don't let it ever be too late in your life before you ask God to come into your heart. Let not that door of salvation be shut against you. Well, so, because of his faith, Noah, like Abel, became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, here's another one, was told to go out of his land. Now, I want you to see, look, Abel, Enoch, Noah, and now Abraham were all obedient to what God said. But God didn't say the same thing to everybody. And so we've got to find out what God is saying to us. Because the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And so it's what God speaks to us. We believe, we receive his faith, and we do what he tells us to do. You know, it was only Moses that was told to build the tabernacle. And there's a little phrase that I'd like to mention at this time from the Epistle of Hebrews. You know, Moses was told this, do all things that I command thee to do on the mountain. In other words, it's not to look at somebody else, what somebody else is doing, or to look elsewhere and say, well, they're doing that, so I'll do that. No, we live by the faith of the Son of God, and we live in such a way that we are dependent upon the Word of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said this to Satan when Satan said, well, cause these stones to be made bread. He said, man doth not live by bread alone. Now listen to this. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And therefore it's important to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? You see, God has a plan for each one of our lives. And it's no good looking at somebody else and saying, well, what are they doing, you see? No. We've got to hear from God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Well, Abraham was told to leave his city, leave his kindred, leave his family, and go to a place where God would show him. See, how different from the others. But he had a vision, and this is very important, this vision. It's something that held Abraham throughout his life, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. In other words, Abraham was held in all his wandering, you know, moving from place to place, seemingly without purpose, and yet there was a hidden purpose in everything that God told Abraham to do. And, you know, what held Abraham? A heavenly vision. In a vision of a city whose maker and builder was God. And that's a city. A city on a hill. City on spiritual Mount Zion in heaven above. And that is what God is offering us. Oh, I have a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. You see, when I come, you know, I will take you there. My wife has a beautiful house in heaven. Somebody had a vision of that. And, and another pastor had a vision of it too. Beautiful house in heaven. God has a wonderful place for you as you're faithful to him. Well, Abraham was See? And then, you know, he had a wife, Sarah. And she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child which, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, Sarah had to believe for the conception of that son, whose name was Isaac. And so there sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Well, there you are. I've known others, you know, who are barren, and yet God has promised them a son or children. And when they've been faithful and believed, oh, they've brought forth remarkable children. See, all these things, you know, God might speak to us. But it's only what God speaks to us that we can believe for. And so it goes on. But he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And then, in verse 15, here's a very awesome warning. And Hebrews is filled with five distinct awesome warnings. And here it is. Look, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I've known many who have been called to the mission field, and yet their mind is always on America. Or, in another sense, it was, you know, the English on England, or French on France. And although they're in the country of their calling, they have such a desire to go back. And God opens the way and they go back and they never get back onto their calling again. We must be careful, you know, to forget the things that are behind us and press on to those things that are before. We don't want to be those that backtrack or backslide. And so those people that are faithful have a heavenly country. And, you know, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, he continues about Abraham, that Abraham was ordered to offer up Isaac. And he did so. And this Isaac, you see, was the one in whom all the promises of God to Abraham were centered. I mean, Abraham could not fulfill or have not received the promises except through Isaac. And now here God was ordering him to offer up Isaac. But, you know, I've known people who, you know, have waited a long time for their calling. And they've gone out into the foreign field and then God brings them back, you know, perhaps on vacation or something like that. And then he says, well, I want you to lay down your Isaac. I want you to lay down your call. And oh, how difficult it is to give back to God that which he has called you to do. But, praise the Lord, those that do have a resurrected Isaac, if I can say this, is far greater than all that they had before. And of course, Abraham, because he did this, got a fantastic promise from God. Which promise is available to us as the sons and daughters of Abraham through Christ? And what was the promise? It was this: in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you. Oh, what a wonderful promise that is when we give up our call and everything back to God when he requires it. Well, we move on now, and it's Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. See, Isaac believed that those things that he had inherited from Abraham, the promises, that they were going to be released through Jacob. And Jacob, of course, in turn, you know, bless the sons of Joseph And Joseph, in turn, gave commandment when he was in Egypt concerning his bones, because he believed that God would bring the children of Israel up out of Egypt into the promised land. These all died in faith. And then Moses, you know, Moses' parents protected him from the wrath of Pharaoh when they were commanded to slay him. They protected him because they believed that God had a promise for him. And Moses, of course, went on to refuse to be called the daughter of Pharaoh, refused all those royal honors that were heaped upon him, because Pharaoh's daughter has despised him in the river and taken him for her own. And he refused all those honors because he chose rather to suffer affliction, you know, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And how important it is, you know, to put the world behind us and all keep our eyes upon the things of God. Well, there he was. He forsook Egypt. He fled from Egypt, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh, because Moses believed that God had appointed him to be the savior of his people, to be the commander, to bring the children of Israel up out of Egypt into the promised land. Well, he had to wait 40 years in the wilderness to do that. But still he held firm to his promise. You know, Winston Churchill, at a very young age, believed that God had a purpose for his life. He was destined for something. But Winston Churchill went through highlights, and he went through deep valley experiences. And it wasn't until he was age 66 that he became Prime Minister of England, and that which he'd always believed for came to pass. You know, sometimes we have to wait a long time. Moses had to wait a very long time. He's about 80 before, actually, he entered in to the position that God had ordained for him. And it took him 40 years to bring, you know, the children of Israel to the River Jordan. But oh, what a great man that he is. He's one of the anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Yes, I want you to encourage yourself. You know, you say, well, God spoke, nothing has happened. No, but God is preparing you so that you are ready to enter in to the position that he has ordained for you. Well, you know, Joshua, you know, walked around the walls of Jericho, and by faith they came down. And perhaps there are obstacles in your life, and you believe God that he will bring them down as surely as he brought down the walls of Jericho. And then, what more can I say, Paul says, as he mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And look what they did. They all did different things. And he said, look, some subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. You know, obtained promises. Have you got promises from God for your life? It's so important. We live by faith. But all faith, you know, this is a substance. To believe from something very different. Have you got promises from God concerning things in your life, concerning overcoming obstacles, concerning things that, you know, are afar off, a fruitful life, a life with purpose? Why not ask God, God, speak to me and give me a promise for my life? Oh, how different our life becomes when we have promises. And you know, even into old age, promises, further promises. Oh yes, how important that is. And look, stop the mouths of lions. That's Daniel, of course. But by faith, you see, those mouths of the lions were stopped. And oh, it continues and continues and continues. Yes, you know, and speaking of all these heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, look how Paul wraps this chapter up. And he said, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, and that's what we had at the beginning, the elders who obtained a good report through faith. You know, we want to, by the grace of God, have a good report, a good report. That's what we ask for the children, isn't it? When they come home at the end of the term, your report card isn't a good report card. We want the children to have a good report card. Well, in the same way, we want to have a good report card waiting for us in heaven. Yes, your report card is full of A's because you believed what God spoke to you. You obtained promises. And so I want you to meditate on that, if I could say this, that look, by faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. By faith, that is the way to please God. And so I want you to live by the faith of the Son of God and say, and this word comes to me so strongly as we close, obtain promises. Why don't you pray now and say, God, about this, give me a promise. About the future, give me a promise. Oh God, that through those promises, as Paul said to Timothy, you war a good warfare. And above all, you'll get a good report. And may God grant that your report card will be full of A's. God bless you.